friendship be our shelter from life's storms.
Shalom, and welcome to Torah to the People, a podcast from Temple Israel in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm Rabbi Micah Greenstein. We hope you enjoy this selection of our sermons, classes, and conversations with inspiring people from across the Bluff City and around the world.
Shabbat shalom. A word that has always held significance to me is the word matriarch. Everyone has different names and different faces that pop up when they think of that word. The women that have come before us, the women that have helped to pave the way for the future in countless fields. Me being who I am, when I hear the word matriarch, I think of the matriarchs in the world of music. Now, a quick Google search reveals what general consensus is for the founders and most influential early musicians of certain genres. Whether for rock and roll, jazz, classical, the names that came up were consistently names of men. Of course, women also played influential roles in all three of these genres, and I can spend the rest of this service time listing them all. Most genres, however, tend to have more agreement and influence around the men. Most, but not all. Only until relatively recently, people did not think of women to have a significant place in the forefront of Jewish music. In an article titled Women, Music, and Judaism in America, Adrian Fried Block says 19th century efforts by, mainly male, scholars and cantors coded Jewish music as a male-dominated activity, with the synagogue and cantor at its center. Reinforced by rabbinical concerns over women's voices, colloquially known as kolisha, this self-interested scholarship generally marginized the musical activities of women as exceptions, auxiliaries to tradition, or liberal breakthroughs. Women finally pushed through this barrier in the late 1900s. While there were a few women who served in cantorial soloist roles in the late 1800s and early 1900s, the first woman to actually be ordained as a cantor was Barbara Jean Ostfeld. She was ordained in 1975 at Hebrew Union College, the URJ's seminary. This was not too far behind the first woman ordained as a rabbi in North America, who was ordained in 1972, also at Hebrew Union College. It is worth noting they are both still alive today. A list of things older than women being in the cantorate: the Beatles, who broke up just 1 year before Cantor Ostfeld's ordination, Apollo 11 landing on the moon, Woodstock, and the first episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Women being in the cantorate is only 1 year older than the building we are in right now, and only 2 years older than Star Wars. And that is just the Reform movement. It was not until 1987 that the conservative movement ordained a female cantor. To date, there are no ordained female cantors in Orthodox Judaism. Judaism is not by any means a young religion, and yet, it is in the lifetime of many people alive today that women finally got their seat at the table in two of the major denominations of Judaism. Since then, we have come a long way, not just in the cantorate, but in the Jewish music world as a whole. Around the same time that women were starting to be ordained as cantors, young musicians were thinking innovatively about how music in the Jewish world could evolve. What resulted from these young musicians led to a shift in synagogue music that helped create the musical soundscape we experience today. The leader of this shift, as we heard about earlier from Rabbi Greenstein, unequivocally Deborah Lynn Friedman. The genre of progressive Jewish music is relatively new. Jewish music has taken many forms over history, just like Judaism has taken many forms over history. The music heard at Reform temples started to take shape in the 19th and early 20th century, with names like Solomon Sulzer and Louis Lewandowski. They are two examples of early composers who started to look at tradition and modern musical customs and find ways to make them match more closely. It was not, however, until the latter half of the 20th century that the music most commonly heard at Reformed temples today, progressive Jewish music and progressive Jewish folk music, really started to take shape. At age 16, Debbie Friedman started to play guitar after encouragement from a camp counselor. She immediately started learning songs from musicians she admired, such as Joan Baez and Peter, Paul, and Mary. When she would attend services, however, the music felt different to her. In an interview with the LA Times, she reflected that going to synagogue did not engage her. She said, "The rabbi was talking, the choir was singing, and no one was doing anything." To her, something felt missing. Soon after attending that service, Friedman attended Kutz Camp Institute in Warwick, New York, a teen leadership training camp that I myself attended in my high school years. It was here that Friedman introduced her first melody, a setting to Vea Hafta that many of us know and love today and that we heard sung tonight. Friedman recalled that not only did they sing the Vea Hafta, they stood arm in arm, they were moved, they were crying. Here was something in a genre to which they could relate. So she kept writing music, fusing liturgical texts and concepts with the folk music that she held dear. Now, at the time, there were two things going against her. One, she was a woman. In 1970, when she attended Kutz, women had not yet been ordained as cantors. And two, the guitar. In an article from New York Times following her death in 2011, it mentions, while some rabbis and cantors welcomed her as a democratizing force, others saw it as a subversive breach of time-honored tradition. The accessibility of the folk style challenged the norm. Folk music of the 60s and 70s was not meant to be passive or vocally challenging. The songs were experiential, communal, often a call to action. To many younger people at the time, this music helped them find their place in the spiritual world of Judaism, whether as a listener to music that they identified with, or as a participant in singing. Her songs became staples in camps and youth environments, and also made their way to the Bima. Many of the songs we did tonight were by her. More musicians followed suit, such as Jeff Klepper, Danny Freelander, Julie Silver, Craig Taubman, Moshe Rothblum, and a new generation of Jewish musicians emerged, creating a more progressive form of Jewish music. This is not to say that Sulzer and Lewandowski do not have a place in modern-day Reform Judaism. We hear their music most Friday nights as well, through the chanting of the Kiddush and Shema, and on the high holidays. What Sulzer and Lewandowski did for Jewish music in their time period is what Friedman and the others recreated for the modern day. And this cycle of creating Jewish music to fit the musical interests of a time period continues today through artists like Jacobs by Krauss, Alana Arian, Dan Nichols, Eliana Light, Rick Rechts, and others. Earlier, I spoke of the word matriarch. Something that sets progressive Jewish music apart from the genres I listed is Debbie Friedman, this genre's matriarch. Immediately following her death, Hebrew Union College renamed their cantorial school to the Debbie Friedman School of Sacred Music. Sing Unto God, an organization dedicated to professional development of Jewish music leaders to strengthen and further Jewish music in our communities, is named after Debbie Friedman's melody of Psalm 96. Debbie Friedman's impact on Jewish music is not just felt by those involved in that world, but it is universally known and celebrated. Every Jewish musician I know and everyone that I've spoken to has a Debbie Friedman story, whether they have known her personally or not. So here's mine. I myself struggled to find a connection to Judaism as a young child, but I loved music. I knew I was Jewish, and I was really proud of it, but spiritually, I went through the motions. During my first summer at URJ Camp Coleman in 2006, I heard Debbie's Shema for the first time. My counselor sang it to us every night before bed. I loved that melody. I still do. I loved it so much, I remember hopping in the car after camp and singing it to my parents, whether or not my brother in my car wanted to hear that or not. There was something about it that just made sense to me. My cantor at home did not sing anything like it, and I wanted more. And the more I dove into this genre of music, the more Judaism came together for me in my mind. As a teenager, I was on my temple's bima. I was leading youth group services. It all felt right. I had a new female cantor. I had multiple female rabbis at the temple, and I never felt like there was something I could not do or work towards because of my gender. And every time I go to conferences, Jewish music concerts, and camps, and I see women leading worship, leading and teaching their own music, and singing their hearts out, I feel inspired. I think, what would Debbie Friedman think? What would she feel if she could see this, her legacy? Because progressive Jewish music would not be what it is today without the contributions of a woman who believed in the power of music and community. Jewish music would not be what it is today without women like cantor Barbara Jean Ostfeld, who took the step into uncharted territory for women in Jewish music. Jewish music would not be what it is today without the women who write and lead music, continuing to bridge the spiritual and the modern. And, quite simply, Jewish music would not be what it is today without women. We're going to continue with a Debbie Friedman song. One of my favorite Debbie songs, and the youth shall see visions. And I encourage you, if you know it, please sing along. Let me make sure this guy's on.
Childhood was for fantasies, for nursery rhymes and toys. The world was much too busy to understand small girls and boys. As I grew up, I came to learn that life was not a game, that heroes were just people that we called another name. And the old shall dream dreams, and the youth shall see visions, and our hope shall rise up to the sky. We must live for today, we must build for tomorrow. Give us time, give us strength, give us life. Today's the day I take my stand, the future's mine to hold. Commitments that I make today are dreams from days of old. I have to make the way for generations come and go. I have to teach them what I've learned so they will come to know that the old shall dream dreams, and the youth shall see visions, and our hope shall rise up to the sky. We must live for today, we must build for tomorrow. Give us hope, give us strength, give us love.